everyone. Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Lid Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Asaro. And for this episode, we have a very special guest with us, Joma Nausa, who is the author of The Business of Getting Business. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you, Asaro. It's good to be with you.
Fantastic. So Joma Nausa is the CEO of Joma Nausa Real Estate, a growing real estate brokerage listed among the Forbes Incorporated 5000. After observing industry giants move to a digital-first marketing approach, Joe made the transitions within his company, resulting in over $10 million of revenue from the business's website. Joe is the author of The Business of Getting Business, an easily digestible step-by-step practical guide for small to medium-sized businesses, business owners, and entrepreneurs, which provides us with the right information to build a brand and business from scratch using basic digital marketing strategies executed well. So the first question I have is that you mentioned in the book that small business owners must embrace digital or die. Why is this? Why is it important? And why do you think there is no place in today's world for small businesses that want to remain traditional and avoid digital marketing ventures?
Well, it starts with competition. And historically, local businesses, small businesses, we knew who our competition was. We knew where they were, what they did, how they differentiated themselves to how we provided our service. But what's happening is the internet is making the world a smaller place. And we are finding competitors coming in from out of town. And you really didn't have to adapt to a digital strategy to stay in business to compete against them. But there's an even greater threat that's really showing up in most industries now. I refer to this threat as digital marketing organizations. And they form and they have no intent of servicing the customer. What they do is they take advantage of an industry's lack of digital marketing, and they establish themselves as the stronghold in that industry on the internet. And so basically, if you've ever bought leads from an online organization, you have to ask yourself, where is the future? If you are now outsourcing the generation of your business, what's to stop them from changing the rules on you down the road? There's some good examples. In my industry, there's Zillow. Zillow doesn't do anything for a customer. They're just a website. But what they found was there was such a weakness in the real estate industry for generating business digitally that they could just build a website and sell traffic to real estate companies. There's other examples, something like Home Advisor in the US is absolutely killing the home repair and improvement professionals, electricians, plumbers, anybody, landscape engineers, anybody that does work on a home, they're getting a lot of their business from Home Advisor. And so effectively, they're outsourcing lead generation or the getting of business to somebody else. And that somebody else represents the image of that specific trade. For example, take an electrician. Most people are turning to Home Advisor to find an electrician. That tells me as a marketer that the biggest electrician in my area is Home Advisor. So if they are selling all their leads to two or three electricians and decide to raise their rates, those electricians either need to agree to the increased spend or see that percentage of their business go away. And that to me is really why you have to embrace digital as a small business, because if you don't, you're just not going to be able to generate the business like you did in the past.
So you kind of touched on my second point, which was covering the main benefits of the digital marketing practices. So I was hoping you could go into more detail about what these main benefits are in comparison to the traditional offline marketing practices, which some small businesses still seem to be using.
Right. And a lot of the traditional methods are still required, needed, and valuable. The problem is you can't do it without reinforcing it with digital or you're going to get passed by. But I would say the primary benefit of a sound digital marketing plan is that it's the gift that keeps on giving. I once wrote an article in 2008 that still sits on my website and generates business for me today. So it's almost 13 years old and I'm still getting traffic to my website. I'm still producing customers because of something I did 13 years ago. I don't think any of my radio ads from 13 years ago are generating me any money. I don't think any television or any newspaper ads are generating me business from 13 years ago. But with digital, your content exists forever on the internet. And if you really do a good job, sometimes you can find it is the gift that keeps on giving. Secondly, digital is scalable. It's repeatable. It's measurable. For the first time in the history of marketing, we can measure an ROI, a return on investment per campaign. You know, think about the past. You run TV commercials. There is a branding benefit to TV commercials, but how do you measure the amount of money that you actually made off of that TV commercial? Yeah, you have to talk to your sales force and you have to hope you get good feedback from what the customers are saying, but it's very hard to attribute to revenue to a specific campaign that you're running. But that's not the case on digital. For example, I can run a Facebook campaign and I can measure every single lead that comes in from that and what happened with every one of those leads. And then I can say, I know I spent on a campaign a certain amount of money. I can know what the revenue was from that campaign, and I can get a very accurate assessment of how each campaign's performing. And that assessment allows me to decide, do I want to put more money into that campaign or do I want to quit that? And TV and radio is very hard to get an accurate feel for the conversion rate and the actual ROI. And then finally, there's a branding benefit of being visible online. The internet allows us to blur the lines between marketing and sales and service. And as a great example is Google. You know, I've got a pile of 5-star reviews on Google mentioning great service. So customers are logging in, going to Google, saying they had a great experience, but that serves as marketing for me. There are a lot of people in a lot of industries or with a lot of products that before they make a decision, they do their research. They go to the search engines and they try to find out more information about the product or the service or the organization. And if you've got a great service organization that's getting 5-star reviews posted, you're actually marketing.
A key takeaway that we've gathered, and I know many of our listeners will have gathered from this conversation and from your book as well, is that you have shown the development in your business and how digital marketing practices have helped you and have really changed the way that you operate and that you're able to grow your business. And in your book, you talk about the evolution of marketing and the importance of embracing digital marketing practices for local businesses. And my question is, how can this new type of marketing help local businesses grow? Can these businesses become global businesses if they execute the right forms of digital marketing strategies?
Well, the last question there is a mouthful in that, can a local company become global? I really don't think that's any local company's goal right out of the chutes. I think they're looking at how do you go from local to regional. Going global is a very large process, but I cannot imagine a local company ever becoming a global company without having a strong digital foundation. The world is consuming on the internet. It is the place to be to sell your products or your services. And if you're not there, how do you go global? Because your competition's there.
I was just wondering if there were any examples of how businesses have successfully digitally evolved.
Well, I mean, because it's easy for me to explain, I'll talk about my own business. I've owned a real estate brokerage in Tallahassee, Florida, since the early 1990s. And when I got in the business, there was no internet. Most of the people in the industry did not even have computers or cell phones. So it was very much a traditional business. Most marketing was done via newspapers or magazines, signs, things like have been around for a long, long time. But what happened during this period of time is somebody invented the internet, and all of a sudden we had websites, and then we had pictures of properties online. And what we found was that as an industry in real estate, we no longer were the gatekeepers of the information. We no longer were the only ones that knew what properties were for sale. So we had to evolve. And as the industry evolved, so too did our marketing. In the late 1990s, nobody was on the internet looking at homes. But this past year, a survey of home buyers from the National Association of Realtors in the U.S. found that 94% of buyers use the internet to find a home. So if your primary marketing methods are offline, and yet 94% of your consumers are online, you're probably not heading towards being a global organization. You're probably heading towards being a dinosaur.
For our listeners listening, could you give us some examples and insights about how you made that digital transformation, and also when you started to see the benefits of it? So what were the first steps that you did? And then what were the first signs that you realized, hey, you know what, this is actually paying off, and we can see an increase in revenue, and we can actually see a higher engagement and response from consumers?
I love this question because it's really the reason I wrote the book. In 2007, a friend of mine recommended that I start doing a blog. And my first reaction was, I don't have time for that. And why would I want to write articles or whatever a blog is? But this person was very intelligent, so I respected his opinion. And I decided, you know what, I will give blogging a try for 30 days. I will write an article every single day for 30 days, and then I will stop, evaluate, and decide what I wanted to do. And so I found a popular blogging platform in my industry, and I started writing articles every day. And after 30 days, I realized that I didn't have an answer as to why I was doing it, what it would be good for, but I noticed that my writing style was getting a whole lot better, and I decided to give it another 30 days. So 30 days later, I had a complete vision of where I was going to go with a digital model. I absolutely got blown away by the interaction online with prospective customers, and I was finding them long before my competition could find them. I had people reaching out and asking me questions that led me to understand they would not be buying in the near future, but I could form a relationship with them online, establish myself as a professional in the industry online, and then be able to conduct business with them when their schedules worked in that capacity. So that was back in 2007. The reason I wrote this book was everything I've done through trial and error and learning on my own and scouring the internet for more information from other industries that I could apply to my own. And what I've done with the book is I've laid out a process for someone who was me back in 2007 and didn't know anything to me now that runs primarily a digital operation in the real estate sector.
So you mentioned that it was a lot of trial and error, and you also mentioned that you've taken all your experience and you've put it in this book, which is something that will be very useful for people who are looking to make these changes to their business and who are looking to get on top of their marketing game on digital spaces. So as a parting tip to our listeners, for anyone out there who currently owns a business or is looking to start a business, what do you think would be one of the first things they need to do in terms of affecting or implementing a digital marketing strategy for their business? What is the first step you would encourage them to do? You mentioned yourself that it was starting a blog for 30 days and seeing the effects of that, but what are other things you'd say would be first steps to consider?
I would say that hands down, the smartest thing they can do is start by writing a plan. You can work yourself out of business with all the prospective social media channels that are out there, with blogging. What you really need to do is take a step back and learn more about it, write a plan, and then really just execute your plan. And that might sound simplistic, but it's, if you're like most business owners that I know, you're already busy. It's not like you've got this big schedule of free time that you're trying to figure out how to fill. And so what I have found is that if you rush into something in the digital channel, you're just throwing money at it, and or throwing time at it, which is probably even more costly. And what would be better would be to take a step back, evaluate your current situation. I've laid out a really good way of doing that in the book, but part of the process is finding somebody across the internet that's in your industry that you can start comparing to, that you can start copying from. There's somebody already way ahead of you in digital, and you need to find them. And the way you do that is by you evaluate what they're doing, and then you evaluate their results. There's a lot of people that look effective on the internet, and they're really not. To me, it's about profit. If I can build a profitable organization, if I can do something that will help us grow, that's what I use the digital marketing for. But it starts with a plan.
Thank you so much for coming, Joe. And lastly, for anyone interested in knowing more about you, more about your work, where can they find you and what can they keep an eye out for?
The best, if you need to get a hold of me, my website is my last name, manasa.com, M-A-N-A-U-S-A. That's the best way to reach me. There's contact forms there. But I'm all over. I've got 10 or so different Twitter accounts that myself and my staff follow. I've got one of the largest real estate brokerage accounts on Twitter is Housing Reporter. You can bump into me there occasionally. We're just now building a website specifically for the book. You can find that at thebusinessofgettingbusiness.com. And I guarantee if you Google my name, you'll have no problem finding me.
Thanks again so much for joining us today, Joe. And to all our listeners, you heard it here first, The Business of Getting Business. Make sure you get it now. If it's the perfect book for digital marketing, and it's the ultimate starting guide for anyone who wants to look into this space. Thank you to everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye out on our social media. That's at Lid Publishing on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. For more information about new book expert opinions, and of course more podcasts with thought leaders such as Joe Manausa. See you next time on Lid Radio Podcast. Goodbye.